To the only hour that ever was or ever will be. This is the most important hour in your entire life, for during this hour, you will decide your future and thus our collective futures. This is the hour of the time, and I'm William Cooper. Tonight is the fifth and final episode of our visit with Mr. A. Ralph Epperson. Don't even think of getting up out of your chair, folks. You don't want to miss one single moment of tonight's episode of the hour of the time. Well, Ralph, this is your last night with us. I want to welcome you once again and say that, just in case I get all wrapped up in this a little bit later and forget, that we're extremely pleased and happy that you were able to come and spend these five nights with us. And I've certainly enjoyed seeing you again and talking with you. And I know that many of our listeners out there have had their eyes opened. You've confirmed an awful lot of what they've learned during our Mystery Babylon series here on the Hour of the Time and our other episodes, and you've even imparted to all of us some things that we had not heard and did not know. And tonight I'm sure that you're going to not let us down with what you brought to pass out to the world and all of our wonderful listeners out there tonight.
Well, thank you very much, Bill. I can assure you it's been my pleasure. I hope that it has been informative and that people will want to take action on what we're trying to say. I hope that they will, send for a copy of the catalog you'll be describing later today. Get involved with some good quality material that you can rely on. Get it out. Make it available to your friends and neighbors and family. And get people aware of just what's happening in this world. We're trying to identify that, Bill and I both, as to what's going on.
Let me give that address right now, just in case we get all wrapped up and forget about it later. I'm going to make a point not to, though. Make sure that you send a self-addressed stamped number 10 envelope to Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. Ask for his catalog of materials that you need, his books, his videotapes. This is wonderful stuff, folks, and I cannot tell you, I cannot express to you enough how much you need to read his two books, The Unseen Hand and The New World Order, both of which I've quoted from extensively on this program. So write to Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. That's Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona, 85702. And every time you order something from his catalog, say you heard about him first on the Hour of the Time, and he's agreed to share a small percentage of the money that he derives from his products with the Hour of the Time to help us continue to keep this broadcast going. Let's get right into it, Ralph. What did you bring for us tonight?
Well, once again, and this is night number five and the final night, but what we're doing and have been doing for the last four nights is just reading a series of random quotes that I found in the literature of those who are inside the Masonic Lodge and or the New Age religion. Excuse me. These are the people that have written the books that are certified experts in their field. Like we're talking about books by Albert Pike and Rex Hutchins and Albert Mackey, people that are qualified, certified experts inside the Masonic Lodge and people like Alice Bailey and Benjamin Cream, who are inside the New Age movement, certified, qualified experts. So we're just taking these at no particular sequence. They're just random thoughts. We're trying to document the material by giving you the name of the book and where it is, what page it's on. And we're just doing this with no intent to keep it in sequence or anything else. We're just doing it pretty much at random. I'd like to now continue our study, or at least parts of our study, of parts of Morals and Dogma. I'd like to go to page 820. This is kind of interesting. Albert Pike, who wrote the book, one of the past sovereign grand commanders, meaning the number one Mason of all time during his 32 years as president, they call him sovereign grand commander, wrote a book called Morals and Dogma. This is contained on page 820. He's talking about Jacques de Molay. Jacques de Molay was the head of the Knights Templar back around 1300, and he's now going to talk about him. He was the Masons do connect themselves back to the Knights Templar. Jacques de Molay was executed by the Catholic Church for sins and crimes against the government and the Church.
Burned at the stake on March the 11th in the year 1313.
Okay, very good. Jacques de Molay, before his execution, the chief of the doomed order organized and instituted what afterward came to be called Scottish Masonry. So they're saying that Jacques de Molay founded the Scottish Rite of Freemasonry. He said, Pike goes on, the legend of Osiris the sun god, we've talked about, I'm sure Bill's talked about in great detail.
Many hours.
The legend of Osiris was revived and adopted to symbolize the destruction of the order. The Pope and the King soon after perished in a strange and sudden manner, which is very true. As Jacques de Molay was on the stake being burned, he prophesied or predicted, whatever you want to call it, that the Pope and the King both would die within certain specified periods of time, and indeed that happened.
Well, the legend goes that he invited the Pope and the King to appear with him before God at a certain specified time in the future after he was dead, and answer for their crimes. And the truth is that this is a legend invented by Freemasonry and the Knights Templars in particular. The witnesses who were there that witnessed the burning of Jacques de Molay say that this never, in fact, happened.
Okay, fine, very good. Well, anyway, this is a quote from Albert Pike's book. He goes on to now continue, the order, meaning the Knights Templar, disappeared at once. Its estates and wealth were confiscated, and it seemed to have ceased to exist. Nevertheless, it lived under other names and governed by unknown chiefs, revealing itself only to those who, in passing through a series of degrees, had proven themselves worthy to be entrusted with the dangerous secret. That was a bolt of lightning, so if I may, let me reread that last sentence as soon as this rumble gets through.
The thunder came at an appropriate, auspicious moment.
That's another one of these coincidences, isn't it? Okay, so let's go through the refinish of the last part. These secret chiefs the initiates have been going through a series of degrees, and those who have proven themselves worthy to be entrusted with the dangerous secret. So here we see that the Masons are controlled by someone that they don't even know controls them, this organized unknown chiefs plural. But there are people inside the lodge who do know who those men are. That's what that's all about. Okay, let's continue with our study. Here's a page 2.
Now that was, let me just expound upon that. That was the legend, the old legend of the nine hidden supervisors. You'll find it in the legend of the origin of the Order of the Rose and Cross. You find it sprinkled throughout the history of all of the secret societies. When you get to your research of who is at the top controlling this, you always come to nine unknown men. Mm-hmm. And later on another program, I'm going to reveal to you where this really comes from and who these men are from the writings of the Freemasons, because they have written about it and they have revealed the origin of this. Go ahead, Ralph.
Okay, now we're going to continue in Morals and Dogma on page 287. He's talking about the light and what it means, and this is a quote from Albert Pike. You see, my brother, what is the meaning of Masonic light? You see why the east of the lodge, where the initial letter of the name of the deity overhangs the master. It is the place of light. Light, as contradistinguished from darkness, is good, as contradistinguished from evil. And it is that light, the true knowledge of deity, the eternal good, for which Masons in all ages have sought. Still, Masonry marches steadily onward towards that light that shines in the great distance, the light of that day when evil, overcome and vanquished, shall fade away and disappear forever, and light and life be the one law of the universe and its eternal harmony. Did you understand what he just said?
Yes, I understand perfectly. And you know what the initial of the God is.
Well, they got the G there.
Go the ahead. Letter G, which symbolizes Gnosis, our knowledge, which refers back to the gift of intellect by Satan to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden.
But I want you to also notice we've already read quotes that Albert Pike admits that the Lucifer, the light bearer, is a god of good, and that the god of the Bible is the evil. So here he's saying that the light of the day when evil, overcome and vanquished, shall fade away. He's talking about the day when religion will be destroyed.
That's correct.
And the belief in God will be destroyed.
And when Lucifer, the victor, will again reappear as the ruler of the heavens.
That's correct.
After a period of 6,000 years, which, by the way, is the year 2000.
That's correct. So what we've got here is, once again, another admission that Lucifer is the light bearer and that he's coming. Now, this is, I don't have the citation from this particular, I think I'll just skip this one by. Let's now go to this one. Here's, once again, the admission that we need light by Benjamin Cream, I'm sorry, Alice Bailey, in her book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy. She says, light with which to see the new vision is needed by all. That means you and I, Bill. Once again, another quote from Manly P. Hall in his book entitled What the Ancient Wisdom Expects of Its Disciples. He goes on to say this on page 26. It was these serpent kings who founded the mystery schools, which later appeared as the Egyptian and Brahmin mysteries. There goes another bolt of lightning. And once again, right at the right time, we're talking about serpents and mysteries. The serpent was their symbol. They were the true sons of light. Bill, in my video, and I'm sure you've done it in yours as well, I show you examples of this worship of this serpent. It's worldwide.
Yes.
It's 6,000 years old. It's in every culture. It's in every religion. It's worldwide and everywhere. So he's talking about these mystery schools are the founder of all of that.
Mm-hmm. And the serpent is the symbol in most cultures, with the priest class, the symbol of wisdom or the intellect.
Okay, now let's continue with another
thing. And I might add that in the ancient mysteries, in the ancient societies, those who were the keepers or the guardians of the secrets of the ages, the highest initiates, wore the symbol of the serpent on their forehead.
Yes. Well, you can see that in the Egyptian hieroglyphics.
That's correct.
And you not only see it that, but you see it, we were talking a few minutes ago during one of the breaks about the head of Medusa, crowned with the serpents, and I'm checking on that to find out. But you find this serpent worship everywhere. It's everywhere around the world. It is a concealed worship of Lucifer called the ancient mystery religion, worldwide, 6,000 years old in every culture. This now continues on the book entitled The Externalization of the Hierarchy, written by Alice Bailey. She talks about the three great planetary centers. I'll just briefly cover the two, and then the third is the most important. She talks about Shambhala, the holy city, the hierarchy, meaning the New Jerusalem, and number three, humanity, and our ruler will become Lucifer, son of the morning, the prodigal son. There we have, once again, an admission that Lucifer is going to rule this world. I've read that particular one. We've jumped over that. We've read that one as well, and these next three. We jumped ahead to cover a few of these quotes on Lucifer. Here's a quote, admission by Albert Pike, that they trace their history back. This is on page 624, Morals and Dogma. Masonry is identical with the ancient mysteries, and we certainly have seen what the ancient mysteries were.
Yes.
The worship of Lucifer worldwide. We've read these quotes.
Isn't it funny that they keep talking about the light, and they need the light, and they're giving the light, and they're bringing the light into the world, but they keep even their own members in total darkness.
Well, that's intentional. That's true. They do indeed. In fact, those are the next few quotes I've got to show you that's true. The average Mason who's listening right now has no idea what we're talking about.
You know, this is amazing. As we go along, you're looking for something, and I'm thinking of it, and I talk about it, and then you quote from it. And we didn't prepare this or rehearse it or anything. That's just the way it goes. We have, in our own separate research, found the exact same keys to this mystery.
That's right. Page 781, Morals and Dogma, Albert Pike says, "If you reflect, my brother, you will no doubt suspect that some secret meaning was concealed in these words." Now, there's only, once again, one secret meaning, and that meaning was found on page 321 of Morals and Dogma. Here we go. I continue to show you, Mason, you're being lied to, you're being deceived, you're being concealed, information being concealed. This is on page 218 of Morals and Dogma, written by Albert Pike. "It is for each individual Mason to discover the secret, once again, the secret of Masonry, by reflection upon its symbols and a wise consideration and analysis of what is said and done in the work. Masonry does not inculcate her truths," meaning I don't indoctrinate. "She states them once and briefly, or hints them, perhaps darkly, or interposes a cloud between them and eyes that should be dazzled by them. Seek, and ye shall find knowledge and truth." And then on page 219, he continues with that thought. He said, "This rite," meaning the Scottish rite, "raises a corner of the veil, concealing the mysteries, even in the degree of apprentice, for it there declares that Masonry is a worship."
And the veil is the veil of Isis.
Exactly. Or the veil of the concealed mysteries. In other words, we're veiling the truth from you.
Well, that is the symbol. That's what Isis symbolizes. Remember, Osiris is the doctrine, Isis is the church. The veil is what hides the mystery, behind which is Lucifer. Mm-hmm. And remember what was written on the stele, "No man hath me ever unveiled."
Totally, I see. Okay, here we go once again. This is now in The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, to show the Mason that he's being lied to as well. Here he says, "The initiated brother realizes," on page 13 and 14 of The Lost Keys of Freemasonry, written by Manly P. Hall. "The initiated brother realizes that his so-called symbols and rituals are merely blinds fabricated by the wise to perpetuate ideas incomprehensible to the average individual. He also realizes that few Masons of today know or appreciate the mystic meaning concealed within these rituals." Mason, he's talking to you. You are being lied to. The truth is being concealed from you. It's time for you to figure that out and then get out. Bill, I'm going to have to ask you to help me with this one. I'm going to show you a drawing that's on page 252 of Morals and Dogma. I know you've seen this drawing as well, but I hope you'll confirm for me that I'm showing you a picture of what appears to be two kings in a circle. This is on page 252 of Rex Hutchins' book entitled
We just did a program on this not too long ago. The circle is the snake eating its tail, which symbolizes the magic circle, or the temple of the sun, which you can see in Stonehenge. It also makes up the outer courtyard of the Vatican. Inside you can see the symbol of the generative force, the androgynous god, the symbols for male and female, the triangle and the inverted triangle. It also signifies as above, so below, the microcosm, which is man as compared to the universe. Go ahead, take it from there. And at the bottom you can see the actual symbol of the pyramid, the temple of initiation, with the capstone in place, without the eye. It is in fact the symbol of the rising sun, the new world order coming into being. Go ahead, take it from there.
Well, I just
want here's the generative force, the penis of Osiris. I could go on and on and on. This thing is full of symbology.
Yeah. Well, the thing I wanted to bring to your attention, just we're talking here about concealing evidence. This is it's really an oblong shape, not a circle, but it does have a snake biting its own tail around, as Bill correctly pointed out.
But it's the same symbol.
There appears to be a drawing of a king or a god, or he's wearing a crown, and then there seems to be a reflection of him in the bottom part of the drawing. It's cut in half.
That's correct. That's Isis and Osiris. Osiris is the symbol of the sun. Isis is the symbol of the water or the Nile. That's why everywhere that you see an obelisk, you'll see a reflective pool. It is Osiris, the doctrine, Isis, the church, reflecting the pure light of knowledge of her master. Mm-hmm. It is also signifies the androgynous god, the male, female, the positive, the negative. the old oriental thing of the yin and the yang, and so on and so forth.
Well, in this drawing on page 252, we don't have to get into all that. I agree with you what you're saying. The purpose I'm bringing this to your attention for is just to show you that most Masons don't understand what this thing means.
And they don't understand anything. They're listening to this program with their jaw dropped down on their chest saying, how come I never heard this before?
Well, here we've got what appears to be a king on the top part and his reflection on the bottom part. Everything is the exact opposite. The king looks on the top part. He's looking straight at you with his eyes. He seems to be a rather old or aged man with a long, scraggly beard. He's looking straight at you. His shirt is black. He's got a wrapping around his neck. When you flip the picture over and look at his supposed reflection, which means you've actually got to turn it, it is not the reflection of the same king. It's a demon. And this is what we're telling you about the Masons. They are acknowledging that we don't examine the truth, that they conceal the truth in mysteries. The person who sees this picture has actually got to flip it around to see it. And most Masons would probably see this and not even ignore it. Mm-hmm. The truth of what this is telling you is that this is the truth of the Masonic Lodge. We see the king and the god, and it's really not him at all. It's the demon. And that's what this picture shows. It's on page 252 of Morals of A Bridge to Light. Here's another quote from The Externalization of the Hierarchy by Alice Bailey. She says, the new era is coming. The new ideals, the new civilization, the new modes of life, of education, of religious presentation, and of government are slowly precipitating and not can stop them. They can, however, be delayed by the reactionary types of people. I think, let me finish this.
Are they talking about me?
Yes. So they could be delayed by the reactionary types of people, by the ultra-conservative and closed minds. They are the ones who can and do hold back the hour of liberation.
Do you know what they base that upon? They base it upon the human failing, the flaw in all of us, that everybody wants a life of extreme pleasure for every moment, and they misinterpret pleasure. They really believe that pleasure is happiness, and that's not the case at all.
Okay, let's continue with this thought that this new world order is coming. These are, as I said, once again, pretty random, but here's a quote from Benjamin Cream in his book entitled The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom. This is on page 184. Here's where we saw he's asking the question. An interviewer is asking Mr. Cream the question, and Mr. Cream responds. The question is, what about the breakdown of family life? So Mr. Cream, this New Age expert, is now going to speak on that subject. He says, everything is breaking down. Oh, there goes the bolt of lightning again. All the old institutions, and the family is also one of the institutions, are breaking down. The new time is to do with the restructuring of our relationships, the extending of our allegiance and our identification from the family to a larger group, from the larger group to the community, from the community to the community of nations. It is always a greater and greater expansion of identification. It is relatively easy to love one's family, well, easier to love one's family than to love the world. What he's saying is that the destruction of the family is all being planned.
Absolutely.
It's not by accident. They're out to destroy the family so that we can turn our allegiance to the world, the love of the world and the world community and the family.
And what is the love of the world?
Go ahead.
That the love of the world is the material side of the human nature and not the spiritual side at all. It is, what he's describing there, is a communism where everything belongs to everyone and the sacrifice of the individual is made for the good of the many. Mm-hmm. Where in this country it was founded upon the precept, the principle, the ideal, that the individual is important, and unless we protect the rights of the individual, the many will suffer.
Exactly. If you don't protect my right as an individual, you don't have the right, neither do your listeners.
That's correct. It is a perversion of everything that is right.
That's
and that's exactly what they are. They are a perversion.
Benjamin Cream goes on to, in his book called The Reappearance of the Christ, he says, the new religion will manifest, for instance, through organizations like Masonry. In Freemasonry is embedded the core of the secret heart of the occult mysteries. What is the core of the secret heart of the occult mysteries? The worship of Lucifer.
Of Lucifer.
Right. By the way, Bill, I want to make this so that people can walk away with one sentence. You and I are exposing an ancient worship of Lucifer that's 6,000 years old.
That's correct.
It's been concealed from us. and it's involved in every aspect of our life, including the Masonic Lodge.
The Masonic calendar begins in 4000 B.C. and ends in 2000 A.D. It begins when Lucifer fell to this earth and took the rulership of the material world, and ends, according to them, when Lucifer will win the battle against God and appear as the ruler of the heavens for all mankind to see, and that will be the beginning of their new world order. And that is supposed to occur in the year 2000. We won't get into what that means, but I just want to bring that home, because you were talking about the 6,000 years age of this religion, and it's all based upon their calendar.
Now, we know, Bill, that the falling of the Iron Curtain was not planned, right? That was an act of coincidence, right? the fact that someday the United States and the Soviet Union might merge together, that's not planned. This is all coincidence. I want to read, going back to Alice Bailey again, we believe she wrote in the 1920s, she said this, Great Britain, the United States of America, and the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, meaning the USSR, are working out the principle of federation, of relation, and of the fusion of bodies into concentrated wholes.
That's correct.
That's 70 years old.
That's right.
This is not something new that George Bush thought of.
Not something new at all. In fact, the Bolshevik Revolution was financed and created by people in New York and London.
Yeah. Here's another quote from Alice Bailey. She said, the ideal of this new world order is divorced from all nationalistic concepts and aspirations.
That's right.
And you and I say, oh no, it can't happen here. There is no one world government coming. We just read it from 1920.
Well, Monday night, they heard me read newspaper articles verbatim describing the new world order that was coming. And these newspaper articles were printed in 1942, 1943, even before the war was over, before the United Nations was even thought of or formed. They were talking about the United Nations that had already been formed in secret.
That's right. Okay, once again, Benjamin Cream, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom, page 69.
Now, let's make a clarification here. When they talk about Christ, it's not the Christ that we talk about.
Oh, no. That's a good point, Bill. Let's talk about that. Let's make sure that these people understand. When Benjamin Cream talks about, in his book, The Reappearance of the Christ, he's not talking about the return of Jesus.
That's
the
right.
One that's prophesied in the Bible. Their Christ is an ascended master named Jesus. Nothing to do with the Christ of the Bible.
Actually, they take it farther than that. It's not even an ascended master or a person. It's an office that can be held by anyone.
Yeah, okay.
And in fact, they teach in the New Age that you too can become Christed.
Yeah.
You can become a Christ.
Well, what he's saying, though, is that, understand, I want the Christians to feel that we're promoting that Benjamin Cream says
he's
talking about Jesus.
They know what we're talking about.
Okay, here we go now. This is the New World Order, according to Benjamin Cream, the New Ager. For the poor, undernourished, and exploited masses of the world, the return of the Christ and hierarchy, once again, notice he's not coming back by himself, will be the beginning of true living. For the first time in recorded history, the produce of the world will be shared among all men. For the advanced developed nations of the West, that third of the world which today grabs, exploits, and wastes most of the food, raw materials, and energy of the world, a new experience, the wilderness experience, will become necessary. We will have to learn to live more simply.
Now, this is the age-old dream of communism that they've proven to themselves over and over again doesn't work, but they won't let go of it. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why do they cling to this failed idea that everywhere it's ever been tried has just crumbled in front of their faces? It doesn't work. What makes them cling to this silly philosophy?
The only way to answer that is we'd ask them, but let's just go
ahead. And there's something else, too. When he makes that statement, he doesn't mention that it is them who have kept the people poor.
Exactly.
And who have exploited them throughout history.
That's what he's saying here. He's saying he's not saying that. I agree with
him. And then they use the condition that they brought about as justification for the enslavement of humanity in the future.
What he's saying here is that the West, we have exploited and wasted and grabbed the wealth of the world. And the solution to that is, as Karl Marx wrote, from each according to his ability, to each according to his need. By the way, a new Marxist just said that a couple of months ago. His name is Bill Clinton.
That's right.
What did Bill Clinton say? We're going to tax the rich to share the cost of the burden. The middle class will not have to pay these taxes. We're going to take from the rich to give to the poor.
Mm-hmm.
That's called Marxist communism.
Yeah.
It's not Americanism. It's not moral. It's not constitutional. It is Bill Clinton. And where did Clinton get the idea from? From Karl Marx, who wrote about it. And now we've got even Benjamin Cream saying the same thing.
Well, I hate to cut you off, Ralph, but this is a good time to do it. It's time for our break. Don't go away, folks. We'll be right back after this very, very short pause. Well, I know that many of you are sitting out there, and you know what I'm going to say, and you still haven't called Swiss America Trading yet. What's holding you up? How can you look your family in the eye and tell them that you've got your investments in paper assets? What's the matter with you? Don't you learn from history? Now, for those of you who have already made your inquiries and have made your decisions, I'm not talking to you. You go about your business. However, those of you who have not called Swiss America Trading yet need to get up right now, go to your phone, because there's going to be a little music here. I haven't decided what it's going to be yet, but you're going to get some music before we go back to the rest of the program. And that will give you some time to call Swiss America Trading and leave your phone number and your name and address so that they can send you information and somebody can call you and talk to you about the investments that they have that can help you save your assets against the coming economic trauma. Now, all of us have worked pretty hard throughout our life, and it's pretty devastating to see someone who has literally lost everything. Now, if you want to see what you're facing, folks, look at those people who have just experienced the floods in the Mississippi Valley, up along the Missouri River, the droughts in the southern states and some of the other states in the Midwest. These people have lost everything. Now, if you don't want to find yourself in the same situation, you need to do something right now to protect your assets against what's coming. The best protection throughout the history of the world has been precious metals in its various forms. Some forms are better than others. That's why you need to talk to the experts at Swiss America Trading. Some of you may want to get into high-priced numismatic coins, a coin where there is a $50 by weight of measure value of gold in the coin, and you might pay $3,000-$4,000 for that coin. Now, I'm not telling you not to do it. I'm telling you that in our research, we found that against what's coming in the future, a total and complete economic collapse, there's not going to be too many people sitting around collecting coins that are going to give you what you think a coin like that is worth. So call Swiss America Trading right now and talk to the experts there. Ask them some good, hard questions. Ask them to tell you about all of their different forms of investment that will protect your assets against inflation, depression, all of the things that we know may be coming in the future. And do it now. And for those of you who say, inflation, depression, those are two opposite ends of the stick, you're absolutely right. But we're going to face right now inflation of the dollar, and it's going to be a tremendous amount of inflation.
Inflation, and where do I get this? In the mouth of Mr. Greenspan himself on C-SPAN not too long ago. Following that, we're expecting a complete collapse, total depression of the monetary system in this country and around the world. We've covered this many times in many hours of the hour of the time. The only protection that you have is in hard assets. Non-confiscatable, non-reportable hard assets. Call now, Swiss America Trading, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait until it's too late. I don't want to see you sitting on the corner crying because you've lost everything that you worked all your life for. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. For the first 200 callers, you'll receive Harry Figge's report entitled Tackle the Debt. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. While you're at it, mention my name, William Cooper. Tell them how much you appreciate their sponsoring the hour of the time, and you'll receive a free newsletter on protecting your future. Call now, 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. for by protecting your future, you'll be protecting the future of this program, the hour of the time, and freedom for the world. So call now, folks. Do it right now. 1-800-289-2646. That's 1-800-289-2646. And you'll be glad that you did.
Right in the middle of this thing, Bill, I believe. I think it might be good now to those of the audience that they are meat eaters. They might like to enjoy this particular quote out of the reappearance of the Christ and the Masters of Wisdom by Benjamin Cream. That those are the days of eating meat are changing. It says, in order to be, it's on page 193 of his book.
I got some level problems. Can you scoot your chair closer to the mic there?
There you go. Okay, inevitably out of this change will come generally a vegetarian diet for mankind. This will be the norm. At some point along that evolutionary path, vegetarianism does become necessary. Just about 2 weeks ago here in Tucson, not here in Tucson, but in Tucson, I saw a couple of young people standing in front of a hamburger stand with a sign saying, don't eat meat. It's already started. They're already starting to pressure us that we can't eat these living things that belong to the Gaia, the earth goddess.
Gone farther than that. They're trying to destroy the cattle industry by driving them off of the grazing land that they've traditionally been able to use. And this has been in the works for a long time. Of course, they've got their legal associations, and they're fighting back. And so far, they're holding their own. Let's continue.
Okay. This is from the... the book entitled The Bridge to Light by Rex Hutchins, he says this on page 96, if perfection is not attainable, for what does the Mason strive? Bill, you can become perfect inside the Masonic Lodge. Did you know that?
Well, I haven't met anybody in my whole life who was perfect. And I'll tell you something, the biggest crooks that I've ever met in my life are Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
And if they continue to believe and act like they are, then they will continue to be the biggest crooks and the most despicable characters in the history of the world.
Okay, Manly Palmer Hall, in his book entitled The Secret Destiny of America, talks about this conspiracy on page 23. He said, years of research has convinced me that there exists in the world today, and has existed for thousands of years, a body of enlightened humans united in what might be termed an order of the quest. It is composed of those whose intellectual and spiritual perceptions have revealed to them that civilization has a secret destiny. Secret, I say, because this high purpose is not realized by the many. Does Mr. Manly P. Hall believe there's a conspiracy? Of course he does. It's called the Order of the Quest. He went on to say on page 134 that Ben Franklin spoke for the Order of the Quest, and most of the men who worked with him in the early days of the American Revolution were also members. I know you talked about that on your program, Bill.
Quite a bit. I've come under a lot of flack, a lot of fire from a lot of people when I dare to say that our forefathers belonged to this secret organization and did not really establish this country to set man free or to give us the best nation in the world. In fact, they established it as a great experiment. One of the purposes of the United States of America was to topple the crowned heads of Europe from their thrones, and the second was to establish in the future that man could not rule himself, would contract away his rights for some benefits from the state, and would give up his responsibilities and, in fact, revert back to a state of indenturedness or slavery. And that's exactly what's happened. And our forefathers all knew this and talked about it and discussed it in their writings. And everything.
Well, they did it in a concealed way, of course, because we, the average Americans, believe that the founding fathers were God-fearers and believe in the God of the Bible, and yet...
Well, that's only because we were taught. Yeah. When you really look into it, you find out that they weren't at all.
Okay, Lord of the Trail is coming, and according to Benjamin Cream, his task on page 37 of his book, The Reappearance of the Masters, The Reappearance of the Christ and the Masters. He said, his task and that of his disciples, the Masters of the Wisdom, will be to inaugurate the Age of Reason. Albert Pike wrote, Masonry propagates no creed except its own most simple and sublime one, the universal religion taught by nature and by reason. He said that on page, I don't have the page marks on that one. Here's one on page 737. To believe in the reason of God and in the God of reason is to make atheism impossible. The absolute is reason. He said this on page 810. Human reason leaps into the throne of God and waves her torch over the ruins of the universe.
Again, what book was that, Ralph?
This particular one is on page 810 of Morals and Dogma.
Thank you.
Notice what he's saying here, Bill, that the God of the universe has messed it up, and that reason will leap into the throne of God and wave her torch over the ruins of the universe.
That's right.
So what he's saying is that the victory belongs to Lucifer, and he said that over and over again inside his book. Here's the page 773 of Morals and Dogma. The philosophical gold in religion is the absolute and supreme reason, invisible nature, the sun. It is for this that the pursuit of the great work is called the search for the absolute, and the work itself, the work of the sun. Here's an interesting thought.
The sun spelled S-U-N, not S-O-N, as some of you may be out there thinking.
And it's also spelled with a capital S.
That's right.
They're calling the sun, what we see in the sky, a god. It's the god known as the sun.
Yeah, and they're looking for another one to come along.
Here's another quote from Albert Pike in his book called Legenda, I guess. Legenda, I don't know how to pronounce that.
Legenda.
He says this on page 168, 169. Albert Pike wrote, men are good. Evil institutions alone have made them bad, and it is the duty of Masonry and of every knight to aid in leading them back to the truth.
That's knight spelled K-N-I-G-H-T.
Right, that's right, with the capital K meaning the Knights Templar of the Mason. Notice what he's saying, that religion has messed men up, and Masonry will lead us back to the truth, which is the belief in Lucifer. Here's another quote on page 817 to show the world that he does indeed believe that the world will lead the people who demand that the Masons rule us. He said this, page 817, the world will soon come to us for its sovereigns and pontiffs. We shall constitute the equilibrium of the universe and be rulers over the masters of the world.
Yeah, that's right. So all you guys who've been wanting Bo Grice to be president, you might get your wish come true, and then you're gonna wish you had another wish. I'll guarantee you that.
Now, for those in the world who believe in the Masonic world that the God that they worship inside the lodge is the God of the Bible, I'm going to prove that's not true from the words of the Morals and Dogma.
Great.
This particular quote is on page 254. He's talking about the Sun God, capital S, U N, capital G, G O D. The Sun God created nothing. Now, the God that I believe.
Go ahead.
The God that I believe in. I'm sorry, you switched something here. The God that I believe in created the universe. The master creator, the master builder, was the God of the Bible. So they're saying he's not the God of the Bible because this God that they worship inside the lodge created nothing. N-O-T-H-I-N-G. Here's another quote from page 281 about the same God. The supreme being of the Egyptians was Amon, a secret and concealed God. He creates nothing. So the sun god is not a creator god. Now let's take one last thought. Now this is my view, not the something that's been in the literature of the Masonic Lodge. They call their god inside the lodge the grand or the great architect of the universe. Now an architect does not create out of nothing. An architect creates out of something.
That's right.
So something had to be there before the architect could use it to build with.
Mm-hmm.
So when they call their God the great architect, they're admitting he's not the creator God of the universe. Because if they did, they'd call him the creator God.
Now, let me tell you something else that I've learned, and it's right in line with what you're saying. What I've learned is that they call him amongst themselves in the utmost secret. They call him the Destroyer.
Destroyer, okay.
What he creates is chaos.
Okay.
From chaos comes order. And this is the motto of the 33rd degree of Freemasonry, Ordo ab Chaos.
It's also on the 32nd degree of the acknowledgement of his becoming a 32nd degree.
That's right.
Okay, back to Morals and Dogma, page 366. Albert Pike wrote, our lodges are said to be due east and west because the master represents the rising sun. 6,000 years of worship of the sun is worldwide. It's universal, and it's obviously universal and worldwide, and it's through all cultures. On page 592, this is very, very revealing. Please pay attention, Masons. This might startle you. To all Masons, the North, capital N North, it's a direction known as the North, has immemorially been the place of darkness. And the bloodlines of the minds, man is in the North. The reason for that is mentioned in the Old Testament because the North is where the Creator God lives. His mountain, his temple, is in the North. His throne is in the North. And here we have an admission that the North is, in the lodge, the place of the darkness, which means that they are, as we've already seen, they've admitted that the God of the Bible is the God of darkness. Now we know that that's where he has his throne, according to the Bible, in the North, and that's where they keep none of their lights. Thousands of years ago, on page 77 of Moore's Dogma, men worshiped the sun. Originally, they looked beyond the orb to the invisible God. They personified him as Brahma, Amun, Osiris, Bel, Adonis, Merkut, Mithras, and Apollo. So we see that once why that worldwide universal belief in the sun god Lucifer. Oh, here's an interesting quote from Alice Bailey, who wrote this in the 20s. I guess maybe she will write this afterwards, because she talks about the United Nations through which the hierarchy has been working. She talks about page 41 of the externalization hierarchy. The United Nations fighting for the forces of light, capital L light, on behalf of the United, on behalf of human freedom.
Well, they have a meditation room at the United Nations, which has all the symbology of the hidden mystery religion, a pyramid, and the symbols are on the wall in this meditation room. And the only religion that they have recognized officially in the United Nations has been the religion promoted by the Lucis Trust, which is theosophy.
Yes, that's correct. Okay, now, for those who say, no, Rob, you can't be right, because we know that the God of the Bible is going to conquer everything. Let me tell you what they say in their own literature. I'm going to give you two quotes, actually three quotes, two of which are from Alice Bailey in her book. This one's on page 689 of the Externalization Hierarchy. She says, these forces of evil face sure defeat. And she's talking about forces of evil, meaning the Creator God and his in Christianity. Then on page 275 of Morals and Dogma, Robert Bruce spoke to the same issue. He said, light, capital L light, will finally overcome darkness, good conquer evil. When he means light, he means Lucifer.
Well, everything, when they talk about it, it's like looking in a mirror. Everything is backwards. And when they talk about the light, they really mean the darkness. When they talk about the darkness, they really mean the light. When they talk about the enemy, they're talking about Christianity, the God of the Bible. They're talking about the God of the prophet Muhammad. They're talking about all of the traditional God that we have followed and looked to. They're talking about the scripture. Thomas Jefferson was known for tearing passages and pages out of the Bible and throwing them away because he didn't like them.
That's right.
And this is no joke. I mean, you can find this for yourself. But they actually hate Christians, don't they?
That's correct.
And what we saw happen in Waco, Texas is like a walk in the park by a Sunday school class in light of what they wish that they could do.
If you wouldn't mind, let's spend a minute on that. Let's talk about Hiroshima and Nagasaki. In my book, The Unseen Hand, I get into the evidence that those bombs, the atomic bombs dropped on those two cities, did not have to be dropped at all.
That's correct.
They were dropped on a nation that wanted to surrender, and Harry Truman and Franklin Roosevelt, who thought about this very same time, both knew that.
And then Japan had already sued for peace, and their only condition was that they did not want the emperor thrown in jail, are prosecuted, are hurt in any way, that they were willing to allow the emperor to give up his power, but they wanted the emperor to be preserved as the symbolic head of Japan. And we said, no, unconditional surrender. We dropped the bombs, and then we did the exact same thing that they asked for to begin with.
Yeah. Well, let's continue with that thought about the dropping of the bombs. Those bombs were dropped on Christians. Hiroshima and Nagasaki had the highest percentage of Christians in Japan.
That's correct.
After the bombs were...
Now that's not known by people.
In my video, I'm going to show you an article that was published in our own local newspaper that confirmed this. Associated Press article about the Hiroshima and Nagasaki bombs.
They were, in fact, the oldest and largest centers of Christianity in the entire nation of Japan.
And after the bombs were dropped on Christians, Harry Truman became a 33rd-degree Mason. He was not at the time the bombs were dropped.
Well, I don't know if he was or not, but I do know that he was a Freemason of a high degree, and he had been, in fact, the Grand Master of his lodge in the state of Missouri.
I show a picture in my video of him in his Masonic attire, and I tell you, he did not become a 33rd.
I just made a statement. I didn't know that. I knew he was a high degree.
He dropped the bombs on the Christians, and then Harry Truman became a 33rd degree Mason.
Well, you know that he was, in fact, before he died, a 33rd degree Mason.
Yes. Here we go, page 216, another quote from Benjamin Cream about who's going to win this battle between light and darkness. He talks about the victory of the forces of light. These people believe they're going to win. Here's another quote, this is from Alice Bailey, about the song thing, to end the rule of evil and bring light to an end for the victory of the forces of light, recognized and honored by humanity.
Just so you know, you've got 5 minutes exactly.
Let's do this. Let me see if I can find it. There's 1 minute. I think that's probably enough. These are these others. Let's do this. We need to spend a few minutes on this book by. I want to learn what if you want to mention my catalog, just get that out to get people aware of what they can do to read this book. This is a book written by Jerry Cole Whitaker. We'll just go with this as long as we have, Bill. And then,
Whitaker.
You know her? You know of her?
I know of her. I've seen her on television. I know what she was teaching. And go ahead.
Well, she's written a book entitled The Inner Path from Where You Are to Where You Want to Be by Jerry Cole Whitaker. We're going to read some of these quotes, just at random, from one page to another. And then when we run out of time, we'll just stop. She said, this is the age, this is the time of awakening, this is the time of the light, capital L light, and when we speak about the Christ, do not confuse it with Christianity, okay, she says? She said, others are right to live as they choose. There is no one single right way and no one single truth. Everybody's truth is right for them. So here's this woman buying Theosophics, the same thing taught by the Masons, taught by the New Age religion.
This is what makes millionaires. If I wanted to be a millionaire, I know how to do it. All I got to do is sit here at this microphone and tell people what they want to hear. Make them just feel wonderful. Promise them that they too can become a god and that they can do whatever they want, and the money will just flow into my hand. But I can't do that and won't do it. But that's exactly what this woman is doing, isn't it?
She was on the page 72. She goes, it's all right to do whatever brings you happiness. If you want to kill, murder, then, page 94, she says, the end of religion. There will be no more God of vengeance for us to fear, and therefore no more God-fearing people. Everyone will have found God within. Opposition and belief, on page 89, will have a semi-life of the Pope in the new world, which so many on this planet now envision. Those who hold on, Americans, let's talk about us. Those who don't want this new world order, those who oppose such a vision will, in fact, simply disappear.
When she says simply disappear, what she really means is we will be exterminated.
This is a beautiful, by the way, I have to be fair, this is a very beautiful woman. Jerry Cole Whitaker is very physically attractive. This wild little woman, blonde and pretty and happy, is just a guy. She's going to accept the murdering of millions of people who don't agree with her. She goes on to say, those who oppose such a vision will, in fact, simply disappear, just as those who oppose other visions and visionaries long since have returned to dust, while the visions they so vehemently attack lived on. She talked about the end of government. Everyone will govern themselves. There'll be no more tyrants.
Go outside and look at your neighbor, and then come back and tell me that everybody's going to govern themselves, and you're going to live with no fear.
Yeah. There'll be no more tyrants and no more organizations to tell us what is good for us and what is bad. We will govern ourselves, she said. The good news is that sin is nonsense, she said. You believe that? That's sin. There is no moral law. There is no moral absolute. There are no moral absolutes. There's nothing. We all, each of us, decides what is right and wrong. One more quote, and I think it's probably closer we can get to it.
Before I do one, I'll make a statement. I believe, sincerely within my heart, that the human race must mature and that we must grow up and that we don't need leaders. And I believe that there will come a day when we don't need governments. But that day is not today. And without a moral law to keep us, to keep the imperfections which exist in every man and every woman on this earth in check, there can never be that.
Okay. Here's the last quote I read, then we can summarize, and then if you want to, we'll wrap up with the comment about the catalog. She wrote this on page 168. You are guiltless. None of what you have done is wrong in the highest sense. There is no such thing as wrong in God's world, and there is, therefore, no one who will judge you. Did you understand that?
Oh, I understand it perfectly.
She is saying that there are no moral absolutes. There is nothing but what you decide is right.
Do as thou wilt shall be the whole of the law.
And that is the last part in morals and dogma, Albert Pike.
That's right.
We didn't find the quote during our review today in the last 4 or 5 days, but Albert Pike taught the same thing. There is no moral absolute. That's what the morals of Miles Noggin is all about.
And that is the secret religion that brings forth this philosophy. Quote, a nation or world of people who will not use their intelligence are no better than animals who do not have intelligence. Such people are beasts of burden and stakes on the table by choice and consent, unquote. And there's the truth about how their new world utopia will be, folks. They are, in fact, parasites. They are the scum of the earth. They are the people who have brought about all the misery throughout all the history of the world through their deceit, manipulation, and lies. And they fully intend to destroy all existing religions, all nation states, and they intend to enslave the rest of humanity that do not fit in with their concept of what you should be. And that means you and I, folks, are going to be slaves in the New World Order if we don't wise up. Now I want you to send for Ralph's catalog, and remember, every time you purchase something from Ralph's catalog, please specify that you heard about this on the Hour of the Time, and he will share a portion of his good fortune with us so that we can continue the Hour of the Time, our research, and purchase some much-needed equipment here. So send a self-addressed, stamped, number 10 envelope to Ralph, Post Office Box 536, Tucson, Arizona, 85702.
This is WWCR, Nashville, Tennessee, USA.